I want to spend the remainder of my few minutes talking about some issues that have been sort of out there, either on the internet or emails, that require probably some clarification. One is the issue of dental fluorosis. It is true that approximately 10% of children consuming water at the recommended fluoride concentrations of 0.7 parts per million will develop very mild dental fluorosis. And I'm going to show you a photo of what that means. And I will say I have either very mild or mild dental fluorosis myself, not from drinking fluoridated water, but part of my childhood was spent in a part of Africa where the naturally occurring levels of fluoride were well above our recommended levels. Those of you who have met me and talked with me, probably my teeth don't look like the hideous pictures that are out there on the internet. In fact, the only one who's ever mentioned it to me is one of my dentists, who was the dentist I saw for many years when I was living and working in Africa, and he only recognized it because he had seen other cases due to the high naturally occurring fluoride levels. The upside of it is that I've never had it happen, and I think that's a pretty good trade-off. These pictures of severe fluorosis that are out there just do not occur at the 0.7 parts per million. That concentration of fluoride in the water does not cause moderate or severe fluorosis. And this is very mild fluorosis. There are some very, very small kind of white areas at the lower part of the upper teeth. You may or may not be able to detect it. You certainly wouldn't pick it up as a cosmetic issue. In most cases, it's actually in the back teeth, which can't be seen anyhow. This is mild fluorosis, which is a little bit more conspicuous, but certainly not the kind of photos that have been shared around by emails and internet. A couple other safety issues that have been brought up as concerns, medical complications. There is no credible evidence that fluoride causes cancer, fractures, thyroid disease, lowered IQ, or any other medical complications at the recommended concentrations, 0.7 parts per million. Now, there are articles out there studying populations who are exposed to much, much higher levels of fluoride. And just by analogy, if you had people drinking ocean water, that would not be applicable to those drinking water out of your tap. The sodium concentration is much higher. In this case, those populations are not equivalent to those drinking community water at the recommended concentration of 0.7 parts per million. The warning label on toothpaste is also presented as a concern. Toothpaste has a fluoride concentration much, much higher than in our water, in the range of 1,000 to 1,500 parts per million compared to the recommended concentration of 0.7 parts per million in drinking water. And toothpaste is not intended for ingestion. Now, my understanding is that the American Dental Association has questioned whether we need that label, as you really have to consume a whole lot of toothpaste in order to have any kind of toxicity. But we're talking about very, very different concentrations here. And another issue, probably the final issue that I'll end with here is the fluoridation chemicals. Again, the safety of these chemicals are assured in Arkansas by the Arkansas Department of Health by requiring that all the chemicals meet the NSF, National Sanitation Foundation, Standard 60 for drinking water chemicals. That requires, among other things, that the products be analyzed for any potential impurities and that any potential impurities be at concentrations well below anything that would cause safety issues to human health. And another aside here, I've seen some concern that the fluoride that's added to water is different than the naturally occurring fluoride. Fluoride in its solid form or dissolved in water is sort of like a salt. Again, sodium chloride is table salt, but when it's dissolved in water, you have your sodium ions and you have your chloride ions. It's the same with chloride. In fact, there's sodium chloride. If that's added to the water, then you've got your sodium ions and you have your chloride ions. Whatever those chloride ions were paired with in solid form, once it's dissolved in water, it's all the same chloride. So it doesn't matter whether it's calcium chloride or sodium chloride or some other chloride salt. Once it's dissolved in water, it's the same chloride ion. The last issue I'd like to mention is local control, because this came up, especially in the last legislative session. Just a reminder that it's the poor and vulnerable Arkansans who are most affected by low fluoride levels. They're the ones who have least access to dental care and may have less ability to take care of their oral health. And the benefits of community water fluoridation are relatively higher to them, because they have less options when their teeth have problems. To a local water operator, not fluoridating may save them a buck, but it's going to cost their community and the state at least $38. And so this is an issue where what might make sense to a local water operator doesn't make sense at all to a fiscally conscious state or community. And a final reminder, hours are lost every year due to dental health issues. Over 51 million hours of education are lost around the country due to poor dental health. And then, of course, resources caring for those with cavities and other oral health problems. These basically are state issues, and that should be kept in mind when we're talking about the issue of local control. I'll go ahead and conclude my remark here and just open it up for any questions.
We've got some questions popped up. I'll recognize Representative Payton to recognize for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Smith, I appreciate your presentation. Very informative. And I've had a lot of questions coming from my district on this topic, so I've developed a curiosity. One of the main things you spoke about, the importance of maintaining the right concentration levels. I would assume that means if concentration levels become higher, there could be a concern. Is that correct?
If they became very high, I believe the threshold for concern is 2 parts per million, which is more than twice the recommended levels.
So my question is not really that. It's more about how do we maintain the correct concentration, and is there any monitoring downstream? And can water that is properly mixed and has the right concentration, as it goes over the hills and through the valleys and out into rural Arkansas where there may not be heavy usage, can the concentration level change due to stagnation in higher or low areas or anything like that?
Great. I'm very glad you asked that question. It's an excellent question. And I have with me Jeff Stone, who's our chief engineer, and he will give you a better quality answer than I would be able to give.
Thank you.
There are three ways that we ensure that only the right amount of fluoride is added. First of all, we make sure that the working amount of fluoride within the plant ready to feed is only enough for that day or 2 or 3 days, and then they have to refill that to where if there's any overfeeds, will be mounted. Secondly, and most importantly, each fluoride installation of water systems, the water operator is required to have an analyzer to where he can take daily checks and know that the amount he thinks he's feeding is in fact the amount that he is feeding. The third way is that we also set up a